This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is great to see everybody this new year that God has blessed us with. Hopefully your new year will be good. I've shared with you in New Year's past that I don't make New Year's resolutions because I just break them. I want to live my life the way I need to be living it, and that is for God. And so, we move on, we press on as Christians. Each day we live for God. And that's kind of what I want to talk to you about this morning, is living our life to its fullest for God. I've shared with you in the past how I grew up on the Gulf of Mexico, and I have a little bit experience. I know a thing or two about boating, not a lot. I've shared with you how my uncle made boats. He made a 40-foot houseboat that we used to spend a month on each summer. Went out deep sea fishing on, I think it was like a 35-foot deep sea fisher one time. And, so I do know my way around a boat. I know, how to operate it and everything. And one thing, whether you've worked on a boat, been on a boat, have a boat, even if it's just a lake fishing boat or a pontoon boat, one of the things that we know about is an anchor. Whether you've used it, whether you've seen it on movies, you know what an anchor's for. It's to hold the boat steadfast whenever you need to, okay? Whether you're in your little trolling boat and you pull up, you throw out your little mushroom anchor so you can hold on this good fishing spot and you can cast and catch all the good fish there that are, this big. Or whether it is you see it on a Navy ship, they use something kind of like the top right-hand one, a Danforth. Depending on the size of your boat, you might have two massive anchors that weigh thousands of pounds a piece to be able to hold that aircraft carrier in one spot so that the tides and the currents and the winds don't move you, okay? Or it could be a smaller one like the one in the bottom right, which is what they call a plow anchor. It's the newest design of anchors. But they're designed so that when you pull on them, you can see on that top right when it's got kind of an angled head to it. It's also got that on the bottom, which angles it down, and so that the prongs can dig into the sand, and the more you pull, the deeper it goes, and the more strength it has to hold you tight so that you don't move, okay? And that's what an anchor is designed for, is to not prevent your boat from moving. Well, imagine, if you will, taking off and you forget to pick your anchor up, okay? I figured out three things that could happen. One is you pull the anchor out, okay? You didn't set it really good and it pulls out. Another thing is, as you pull forward, it digs deeper and pulls the cleat out, rips a big hole in your boat. Oh, I forgot to do something. And you stop and you pull it. Or it can hold fast. You have a good, strong enough anchor rope, and it can pull your boat down and flood your boat, and you sink it. Okay? Or you could drag it along if it's real sandy and it's a wrong type of anchor and it doesn't dig in like it's supposed to, and you drag it, okay, and it catches something on the bottom and decides to stop you and do one of those other things. But too many times, I think we as Christians, we allow past sin to be like that anchor and weigh us down. Okay? We allow whatever type of sin that we have in our past to stay there and bother us and weigh us down. And it shouldn't. Sin is holding on to us. Sin that we can't or won't let go of. That sin will do nothing but drag us down and would not allow us to move forward as a Christian. And we can't allow that to happen. We need to realize the sin that we have, that we're holding on to, and do everything that we can to get rid of that sin. Whether it's sin that we haven't asked forgiveness for, maybe it's a sin that we keep committing. But whatever that sin is, and only you know if you have one in your life, is holding us back as a Christian. And we can't allow that to happen. We need to say goodbye to yesterday. And that's one of the things that, you know, a lot of people do at the new year. Goodbye last year. It was terrible. Anything and everything that could go wrong went wrong. And I'm just fed up with last year. I'm fed up with yesterday. It's the new year. It's time to look forward. You know? And it's not like a line drawn in the sand to where, you know what, tomorrow when you wake up, it's going to be a totally different day. It is, but your life's the same. You know? And if you were doing the same thing yet, you know, today as you did yesterday, guess what? It's going to be the same bad year today, you know, this year. That's the reason you got to get rid of those bad habits. That's the reason people do resolutions. Oh, I'm going to get rid of that. I'm going to eat better. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to, you know, get a better job, whatever. You know, and that's what we need to do. Then that's what we need to do. But we also need to look at it and see if that is something that we need to do with our Christian life. Too many times I've seen it to where people have held on to something, and I'll talk about that more later. But we need to say goodbye to the sins of yesterday, of last week, of last month, of last year. We need to ask for forgiveness of those sins and let them go forever. We can't let that sin drag us down. We can't let sin prevent us from going forward as a Christian. We can't let sin, whether past or present, prevent us from doing God's will. In Philippians 3, verses 13 through 16, Paul tells us, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it on my own." Paul says, I didn't do this on my own. I didn't get to where I'm at on my own. "But one thing that I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead." Okay? Paul realizes that he can't do it on his own, but he is doing whatever he can to forget everything from behind. Forgetting everything. Oh, excuse me, I got a tickle in my throat. But forgetting everything that was behind, that was dragging him down, and aiming and straining forward to what lies ahead. Verse 14, "I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Okay? He's pressing forward to that upper goal, that home in heaven. He's running that race for that goal, for a home in heaven. Verse 15, "Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained." We, for the most part, are mature Christians. We have been in Christ for a while, and we know these things. And we need to always strive for that upward home in heaven. But sometimes we let the things in the past stop us. 2 weeks ago, we talked about Judas. Maybe it was 3 weeks ago. We talked about Judas as betrayed here in this statue that is in the Lateran Palace in Rome, predicting Judas betraying Jesus with that kiss. We read where Satan entered Judas and he betrayed Jesus with this famous kiss. And he realized what he had done. And he took the 30 pieces of silver and gave it back. But then he did something. He went out and hung himself. He let his past sin drag him down to the point of killing himself. Could Judas, when he realized what he had done, gone to Jesus and fallen down on his knees and pleaded for Jesus's forgiveness? Yes, he could have. He could have. And he would have been forgiven. It might have been harder for the disciples, for the apostles, to forgive him. If you ever notice that whenever they refer to Judas anywhere in the scriptures, it's Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed Jesus. Imagine how it would have been had he come clean, had he said, you know what, I'm sorry. No, he couldn't have been forgiven. He betrayed our Lord and Savior. Okay, let's flip over to Saul, who was going around killing Christians, killing those who followed Christ, dragging them out of their homes and killing them because they believed in Christ. He, on the road to Damascus, found Jesus. Did he have a hard time when he came back and was teaching Jesus? They didn't believe him. Wait a minute, you're the one who was crucifying us. You're the one who was caught, killing us. Yeah, but I found Jesus. And Paul was accepted. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Jesus took him, we read about that 2 weeks ago, out on the lake when Jesus prepared the fish breakfast. He sat down with Peter and forgave him. Peter, feed my sheep. 3 times, representing the 3 times that Peter denied him. Peter did not let what happened in the past drag him down. Peter was a rock for the church. Judas could have had that same forgiveness had he not let that past sin drag him down. Do not let your sins, your past problems, your past issues drag you down. Colossians 3, starting in verse 8. But now you must put them all away. Not just some of them, not just some problems that you have, not just some issues, not some sins, but you must put all sins away. And Paul just mentions a few of them. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscure talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Put away all these things all the time. Reading about this in verse 9, and putting off the old self, made me think of, and according to the websites I looked at, there are 10 animals that put off their old self so that they can grow. Excuse me just a second. I've been fine all morning, but standing up here vibrating my throat's making my nose run and everything. Thank you. I thought I had a picture of a frog, but it ended up being a lizard and a gecko, but a frog does shed as well. The grasshopper, and of course we're all pretty much familiar with the snake. In order for that snake to grow, every so often they'll shed a skin so that they can grow. The most interesting, I think, is a crab. I saw a documentary one time on that, to where they outgrow their shell, their hard shell, the whole shell, not just the big part on the top, but their claws, their arms, everything. And they will come out of that, and you see it on the bottom, and it's a soft shell. Okay, and then that will expand larger. And you can see his claws and everything. Okay, he has grown. He has shed off his old self. Bottom left is a spider and, of course, a caterpillar. Okay, and some of you are cringing to it, but, you know, it happens. But we as a Christian are told to shed off our old skin, to shed off our old man of sin. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to cling on to it. You know, when you clean your closet, I'm going to probably get in trouble here. You know, this doesn't fit. Oh, but that's my favorite shirt. I wore that, you know, whenever I got that one. I've had this since I was a teenager, and I haven't fit in it in 30 years. But, oh, I love that shirt, you know. And so I'm going to cling on to that. We can't do that when it comes to our life and when it comes to sin. I've shared this story with you before, and this isn't the rock. This is one I had a couple of weeks ago with the painted on it, but it was a nice clean rock I could put in my pocket. I've shared this story with you before, and those who have heard it, you can take a quick nap. But I know there's a lot of you here who have not heard this story, and I want to share it with you. Back around 2000, when I was preaching over at Kashmir, I had the opportunity to go to a men's retreat down in Yamhill, which is, I think, an hour or whatever, west of Portland. And the first time I had been down there, started off the weekend really good. I got off work, and I was driving my van down there, and I was all excited and had blaring the tunes on in my van, coming into Yamhill, not paying attention of the speed limit signs going by me, but the blue lights brought my attention to them, and I was doing like 55 in a 25 zone or something like that, past the school zone and everything, which didn't matter at 9 o'clock at night. But it didn't damper my spirits for the weekend. And so I got there a little bit late. They had already started the talk for Friday night. And up in the front of the stage, they had a table full of all different sizes of rocks. And they had us all go up there and grab a rock. Didn't tell us why, just go up there and pick a rock. Well, I ended up being smart, and I got a smaller rock. And other people were going up there and getting bigger rocks, you know, and not knowing what it was about. And then after everybody had gotten the rock and sat down, they said that we had to, oh, and I also noticed up in the front right-hand corner was a jail cell. And they told us that we had to carry that rock around all weekend long. And I was like, man, I'm glad I got a small one. But these guys are these big ones, you know. And when you got up in the morning, you carried it. When you went to the bathroom, you carried it. When you came to breakfast, you carried it. When you came to the classes, you carried it. To lunch, you had to carry it all day long. And if you were caught, by the rock police and you didn't have your rock, you'd get thrown into jail. And I don't remember how long you had to stay there, whatever, but you had to stay in the jail. I was like, okay. I never got caught. I always carried my rock. Like I said, mine was small enough I could put it in my pocket. And then, so we did that all day Saturday. Sunday, we came back in for our last session. And on the table, they had a large wooden coffin with the lid open. And they told us that these rocks that we had been carrying around all weekend represented sin that we hold on to. Sin that we can't get rid of for whatever reason. And like the extra weight of carrying that rock around all weekend, that's what carrying these sins around in us our whole lifetime does to our Christianity, and that we need to get rid of them. And so they gave us a piece of paper, and we're supposed to write down on that paper these sins that only we knew about, these sins that were holding us back, these sins that were dragging us down, these sins that were preventing us from going forward and doing the work that we needed to be doing for God. They're preventing us from doing God's will. And then we wrote them down, we covered our rock in them, and we go up there and we place them in that coffin. And then at the end, they nailed it shut, and they had some guys come up and pick it up and carry it. And you know, whenever you think of an outdoor funeral or whatever, you always see it as gloomy, rainy, and that's exactly how it was that morning. I thought it was fitting. And they had us all take turns carrying that coffin. And so first guys picked it up and got it out, and you'd go up and you'd tap them on the shoulder, and you would get up underneath it, and you would do your few feet, and somebody else would tap you to where we could all carry it. And we carried it up down along the banks of the Yamhill River, and then up on this little hill that they had set up as a boot hill, old Western boot hill. They had all these tombstones in there with these kind of funny sayings, you know, here lies whoever, whatever. Well, in the end, at the beginning or at the end of it, they had a cross with an open hole in front of it. And they set the casket down, put some ropes around it, had a eulogy, small short sermon, whatever, and then they dropped the casket down at the foot of the cross, and we covered it over. Well, I wanted to remember that weekend. I wanted to remember what had gone on, and I had taken my rock and put it in my pocket and picked up another rock and put in the casket. And when we finished our service there, I walked down the hill to the river, and I stood at the river and I looked at my rock and I said, yeah, the problem is I just did exactly opposite what we were supposed to be doing. I was holding on to that sin. I was using the excuse of, well, I want to remember this weekend. But instead, I was holding on to that sin. And so I held the rock out. I said a prayer. And I threw the rock into the river. That is what we have to do, brothers and sisters. As Isaiah tells us in 43:18, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. We cannot hold onto our past sins. We have to get rid of them. We have to go to God and ask for forgiveness. If we've wronged somebody, we need to go and ask for forgiveness. We can't hold on to them. We cannot let them drag us down. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, again, Paul tells us, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. An apple tree has to get past the fact that it once was a seed. And it has to grow. And grows into this gorgeous tree that produces more apples. That seed can't sit there and say, oh man, I'm so happy to be an apple seed, not a pear seed or a cherry seed. I'm glad I'm an apple seed, and just stay there as an apple seed. No, it sheds that seed, doesn't it? It sheds that shell and becomes an apple. And that's what we as Christians have to do. We become a new creation. We have to get rid of our past. We have to get rid of everything that's in our past. We cannot let it drag us down. Because sin, in Romans 6:6, will enslave you. Sin will hold you back. Sin will prevent you from being the Christian that we need to be. So starting off this new year, I hope we can be all that we can be as a Christian. I hope that we can get past any past sins that we have and leave them in the past. And not let them enslave us. I hope that we can say goodbye to yesterday. Say goodbye to last year. Say goodbye to all those past sins. And say hello to today. Say hello to tomorrow. Say hello to this new year. And let's do everything that we can for Christ. Let's do everything that we can to be the Christian that we are supposed to be and do the work of the Christian that we are supposed to. If there's any way that we can help you this morning, please let us know. Please let us help you. Please let us pray for you. Please, let's all be the best Christians that we can be. Please let your wishes be noticed. Together, we stand and sing.